Tonight we're going to talk about the six stages of the earth. You know, we've talked about certain stages and certain things of what happened in the fall. And, you know, there's so much controversy of understanding of, especially Genesis 1 and 2. In the first two verses of Genesis, you know, there's so much controversy. But, you know, remember something that's just very important. You know, God also created science. Does everybody understand that? Now, there will be, in everything you must learn to eat the meat and throw out the bones. Because God did not create evolution, which is, they tried to prove with science, but you'll find out that many of the theories of science are just theories, and some of them started off with a false lie, and then became a science. But there are certain things that are true in science. I mean, God created wisdom and so forth so that doctors could learn and understand about blood and DNA and so forth, because God loves everyone. We're all his children. Some of them just don't know yet. Amen. So for those that don't believe in certain things, he's got doctors. Amen. And even though that we believe that God can heal us, he still can use a doctor to heal us. Amen? Amen? So he gives wisdom. So there are things that are time sequences. There are things of time that we have no idea of. You know, we have enough in the Word of God to get us by and more. In fact, you and I could not spend two lifetimes on this earth and get the full meaning of this Bible. There's just so much into it that we couldn't. But what the Holy Spirit gives us is what we need for now. For now. You know, I hear so many people go, well, I'm going to read from cover to cover. Well, what's God telling you to read? You're going to miss everything God's telling you. Because that's why it's so important that we are led by the Spirit. Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the author of the Bible. And you want to know the author, or you won't understand his word. And it's important. And what we're going to talk about is the six sequences or the six stages of the earth and what was, what is, and what is to come. Amen? Now, let's go to Psalm 24. Hallelujah. It's a simple, quick teaching tonight. And we can get through it if we all work together. Hallelujah. Psalm 24. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, we can get the knowledge, but we got to have the wisdom to use the knowledge. And the wisdom comes from relationship with the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 24, in verse 1, let's all read this together, amen. The earth is the Lord's, all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, what is he saying? He says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. You know, there are things that the prophets spoke and the psalmist wrote that were things of past, some things of present, and some things of future. The Word of God is not just one tense. Does everybody understand it? Because then how could God speak to you right now? Amen? If it was just, even though some of the Word was written thousands of years ago, and things were brought by the prophets thousands of years ago, what will we need it now for then? So God speaks to us because the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His word never changes. And he'll speak to you through his word of things of the past, things of the present, and things of the future. You can read a chapter and he could be speaking to you of something in the past relating to something in the present that's going to reflect something in the future. Does everybody understand that? So that's why we must be led and have the understanding of the Holy Spirit, because he is the master teacher. Okay. Now, we see here that the earth is the Lord's and all in all its fullness. And it says, who can ascend to the hill or to the mountain of God but he who has a pure hands or a pure heart and clean hands, right? Now I want to share with you something that this is also a representation of past. In fact, this is a representation of a past that you and I were not a part of yet. This is before creation. Okay? The earth is the Lord's. In other words, the earth was a holy place. He says, if the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness of it, he calls it a holy hill or representation of a holy mountain. God's earth was a representation of holiness. Does everybody understand that? It was to be a holy sanctuary, a holy place for the universe. Let's go to Isaiah 66. Hallelujah. Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Now, would God stand on something unholy?
No.
In fact, when Moses came to me, he said, man, you're on holy ground. Take those shoes off. Representing him. See, shoes were a representation of himself. He had to take them off. Come on, you're on new ground now. I got new shoes. Because where you stand, where you standing. So the Bible says that the heaven is the throne and the earth is his footstool. He says, where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? Now listen. If God looked at the earth as holy, then he would be standing on it. It's known to him as holy ground. Well, we know that it's not a representation of now, is it? It had to be a representation of what we just talked about. The earth is the fullness of the Lord. And who can come to it but he who has a pure heart and clean hands? So there was at one time before creation that the earth was a representation of holy ground before me and you even knew about it. Okay, let's turn to Genesis 1. If you want to pick up your first sheet, you can see here that we're talking about the earth and it says creation of the earth on your sheet. Oh, that's right. You got six places on there, don't you? Okay. Let's go to Genesis 1. Some of us have heard some of this already, but we need to go through this. Hallelujah. In Genesis 1, verse 1, let's read it, please. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now understand this. If there is a beginning, there is a what? An end. Now, if there's a beginning and there is an end, that means God has set a time, hasn't he? Because without a beginning and without an end, there is no time. So God has set a time in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, he created the universe and all that's in it. The earth, representation of matter. God created the heavens, representation of space. In the beginning, representation of he created time. And if we know there's a beginning, there is an end. So he began something. He began a creation called the universe. In the universe, he set things up perfectly in order for a time sequence because he knew that certain things had to burn out. Stars have to burn out. Certain things have to happen. Certain things must rotate according. There must be a certain amount of stars in one place in this one part of the universe. There must be galaxies and milk. Everything holds it together in perfection. If something was to fall out of place at the wrong time, the whole universe would collapse. Does everybody get it? Because God is perfect. And what he creates is perfect. He doesn't create anything imperfect. Because he's a perfect God. Okay? So we see right here that we're going to call this right here. It's called the original earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and he created the earth. Right? Isn't it wild that the earth is the third from the sun? Hello. Representing what? Trinity. It's the third planet from the sun. No coincidences. Let's turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. In verse 1 through 6, let's read this together. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Now, firmament is a representation of the extension of heaven also. Does everybody understand it? And it's also a representation of clouds and water. But at one period of time, even water was a representation of heaven. And we'll get into that. Verse 2. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now, like I shared with you, heaven, firmament is like an extension from the heavens. And we see here that David got this revelation. This is a revelation from God that David received. A revelation from God that David received about the heavens and about the earth. Now, you got to understand something. They didn't know at this period of time that the earth was round. See, they still thought it was flat. So that's why you'll hear them say from one corner of the earth to the other corner of the earth, because they still looked at the earth as flat and four corners. They didn't realize it. That's why it says from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. See, they still looked at the earth as being flat. They did not know that it was round. Amen? But David had the revelation about the earth. Now, we also know here that God created the universe, and He began to populate it. And He began to populate it with stars, the moon, the earth, planets. So when He set the earth, Milky Ways and so forth, He began to populate it. Not only did He begin to populate it with matter, material, He began to populate it with angels. Okay? With angels. Now, let's go to Isaiah 45. Hallelujah. Six stages. Isaiah 45, verse 18. Let's read this together, please. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. So when God created the earth, He created it in perfection. It says that He didn't create it in vain. Well, creating something in vain means waste, for no use. He created the earth in perfection. The original earth was created in perfection. It's known as the original earth. It was created perfect. He didn't create it in vain. Amen? He created it for it to be inhabited. Now, the earth was inhabited before God created man. And we'll go there. But it was another earth. It was the same earth, but it was different. Now, when God created the original earth, it was created perfect because the sun was there. It talked about the sun, the moon, and everything was there. When God created the heavens and the earth, everything He created was created because it was done and over with. What He created was created. The sun, the moon, the earth, all the planets, everything was done when He created it. Then He began to not only populate it, even when He created the earth, He created it in perfection. He wouldn't create it in vain. You could call earth the paradise in its original state. It was a paradise. Beautiful. Okay? Let's go a little further. Ezekiel 28. You might even say it was the garden of God in the universe. Ezekiel 28. So, if it was inhabited, there had to be someone running the place. And it had to be inhabited by somebody. Well, obviously, He didn't create man yet, right? But he did create angels, didn't he? In fact, the angels are known as sons of God, aren't they? In Ezekiel 28, we'll see why he did this then. In verse 12, Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. Now we know that man's not a seal of perfection, is he? Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Well, that counts us out. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, we look at the Garden of Eden as where Adam was, right? But this garden also could have been representation of the original earth. The whole original earth is a paradise, as a garden, and it's perfection. Does everybody get it? That's why Satan had access to the garden. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Now listen, every precious stone was your covering. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, braille, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. Now, he's talking about an individual that was perfect, that was dressed with all of these precious stones. Now, where did these precious stones come from? The earth. That meant that he was dressed because he wore all the precious stones of the earth because he had authority. He was ruler. Everything from the earth that was of precious value, he wore. Now look at the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. That means he had timbrels and pipes. Music was prepared for you on the day you were created. You are the anointed cherub who covers. Well, cherub means what? Angel, archangel. That means he was the highest ranking angel. He was the most anointed angel. He was dressed with the stones. He was dressed with pipes. He was the praise and worship leader of the universe for God Almighty. And he was set to rule on the earth because the earth was known as the mountain of God of the universe. And praise came from the earth. And worship. And the sons of God that were here on the earth worshiped and praised God. He could have had a whole choir of the earth worshiping God through the universe. It says, I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God, the earth. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Well, and we know that that's sin, isn't it? So we see that this ruler, his name was Lucifer, was a high-ranking angel, the highest. He was the praise and worship leader of the universe. God set him on the earth as the mountain of God of the universe. It was the holy place of the universe. The sons of God, the angels of God, were here on the earth before man was created. Does everybody understand that? Okay, now, he said that you had this office and all of these things were for you till the day iniquity, till the day you rebelled. Now look at, let's go to Isaiah 14. Hallelujah. That's why music is very important, isn't it? You know how many people go astray by the wrong music? You know how many people get saved by the right music? Hallelujah. A lot of soulish music out there. But we need the music of the Spirit. Isaiah 14. And verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Now that means go above, doesn't it? Because he was on the earth. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He's still looking up. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. Well, the mount of the congregation was the earth. On the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which means hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. That was the answer from God. So we see here that the Lord had a plan about, okay, Lucifer, I'm about to pluck you off of this earth, and I'm going to shut down this place. Does everybody get it? So the earth was inhabited by the sons of God. God chose to shut down the earth. Now, before we get there, let's go to Psalm 148. Psalm 148, hallelujah. So Lucifer was the praise and worship leader, and the sons of God were the worshipers, weren't they? Psalm 148. And people wonder why music affects their children. Psalm 148 and 1 through 6. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Let's read this together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Well, who would praise the Lord from the heavens? The angels. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him all His what? Angels or sons of God. Praise Him all His hosts. That means multitudes. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Hallelujah, praise Him. So we see that these were the praise and worship leaders. These were the praise and worshipers, were the sons of God, known as angels. Amen. And a praise and worship leader was Lucifer. Okay? Go to Job 1. In case there's any questions, I'm going to back it all up with Scripture. Job 1. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1, verse 6. Job 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, does everybody see that? Sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro. That means coming on and off of the earth. And from walking what? Back and forth on the earth. So Satan was coming back and forth, or to and fro, on and off of the earth, and walking back and forth. But Satan now had to, you notice his name changed, because he lost the Lucifer name, which meant morning star. So he lost that title of Lucifer. Star represents angel. And he came to Satan. So he is known as Satan. Now the Lord called him Satan. No longer did he call him Lucifer. He calls him a few other names later on, you'll see. But, praise God. So we see here the sons of God are what? Angels. They're sons of God. Now go to Genesis 1. So we see the first, what we want to call the original earth, was the first earth. That was the first stage. It was made perfect. Okay, verse 1 again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was the original earth. Does everybody see that? In verse 2, it says the earth was without form. Well, we know God wouldn't create an earth without form. He created it perfect. It says it was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. Okay, darkness represented who now? Satan. And where was he? On the face of the what? Deep. Where was he sent? Amen. Amen. That was his new throne room. But he still had access, didn't he? Okay. And it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The face of the waters. So, we see here that between verse 1 and 2, we're going to call this second stage, chaotic earth, because it was shut down. And obviously, it was shut down by water, wasn't it? Because the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over what? Water. So it was shut down. So God decided that He was going to restore the earth. So He sent His Spirit. The Spirit brings what? Life. So the Spirit hovering over the water was going to bring restoration. Now, the Bible tells us that, now listen to this, a tree that doesn't bear good fruit gets cast down and burned or whatever and gets thrown into the fire. It tells us that at the end of times, people will be thrown into what? Outer darkness. Does everybody understand that? Yeah. Outer darkness. And where was Lucifer, who became Satan, after, when God closed the earth down, He sent him, it says, then darkness was on the face of the deep, representing outer darkness. Does everybody get this? Okay. Now, we see here now that the Lord was going to restore the earth. Does everybody get this? Okay, let's go to Psalm 104. Hallelujah. Psalm 104, verse 5. Psalm 104, verse 5. Is everybody there? Now, this is important. It says, "You who laid the foundations of the earth," in other words, the original earth. That was the original foundations, wasn't it? "You who laid the foundations of the earth," which meant original. Now listen what it says. "So that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains." That's when He shut the earth down. "At your rebuke they fled." That's when He decided to restore the earth. "At the voice of your thunder they hastened away." Does everybody see this? "They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth." So God set boundaries, didn't He? He said that the waters will not go any further again. In other words, that's why the ocean can't overtake us, can it? Right? All right. So we see here that He set boundaries. So the chaotic earth was covered with water. Because He says that the original, you laid the foundation. So He's talking about the original earth that was laid in the foundations. Now it was a chaotic earth. And now the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the water, right? In Genesis 2. Because He was going to restore the earth. Remember, God created everything already. He wasn't going to recreate what He already did. He was just going to restore it. Okay? All right. Now, let's go on. Let's go to Genesis 1 in verse 3. Oh, we're getting there. Genesis 1 and verse 3. Okay, is everybody all right now? Amen. All right, look, just to back up a little bit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the original earth. Then Lucifer fell. Right? God shut it down. And He shut it down with water. Okay. Now, it could have been frozen. We don't know. I mean, you know. But it was water. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was what? And the earth was without form and void, which meant chaotic earth. It was shut down. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the water. So God sent the Spirit to restore the earth. Now, listen. Verse 3. Then God said what? Let there be light, and there was light. He did not create light. He said, let there be light, which means restore. Does everybody get it? Let there be means restore. So we see that He did not create. He said, let there be. No, let there be means restore. So we see here, and I'm just going to go right through this real quick. On the first day, so we know that God created, restored. You can't say create. Restored the earth. In 6 days, And he created certain things in the earth, didn't he? He recreated. Now look here. The first day there was cosmic light, wasn't there? And a divided light and darkness. And he removed darkness. Actually, what he did is he divided it. Okay? On the second day, there was firmament, which was formed, and actually an atmosphere was formed. And waters were separated, because even the heavenlies were an example. There was water in the heavenlies. Does everybody understand this? And what he did was began to separate it. And he began to remove it and separate the waters. And as he began to remove and separate these waters, certain things began to happen. The stars and the cosmic lights began to shine through. Does everybody get this? And the third day, vegetation and land was seen because water was beginning to evaporate and lift. On the fourth day, the clouds of the firmament broke away, bringing the two great lights, the moon and the sun. Do you want to back up on this? If you guys want, I don't know if you want to write this down or not. On the first day, cosmic light. Second day, firmament formed and atmosphere. On the third day, land and vegetation appears. On the fourth day, we have solar light, the sun and moon, and the clouds break away, bringing the two lights. On the fifth day, God created fish and fowl. Fish and fowl on the fifth day. And on the sixth day, God created animals and man. And we know that man was created in the image and likeness of God. Adam was. Amen. Now, on this restoration, we call that the present earth. And that's the earth that we are on now. Amen. We're in the present earth. Adam was given ruler over the earth. In Genesis 1:28, if you want to go there, we'll read it. And it says, then God blessed them. Well, I guess I better back up. In verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the seas, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So remember, you have dominion over every creep. Hallelujah. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created man, male and female. He created them. In verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, take dominion. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So they had dominion over everything. They were rulers of the earth. They could have said, hey, Moby Dick, come on over here and bring me across the ocean. I don't think they did, but remember, all the animals were brought to Adam, and Adam named the animals. So God said, okay, Adam, you name the animals. Now, of course, you got to understand that Adam and Eve were glorified bodies, because you could not stand in the presence of God without a glorified body, just like the angels. All right? I'm not going to get into depth about the blood and whatever. Most likely, they didn't have blood. Because the life of the flesh was in the spirit, not in the blood. I mean, not in the blood then until they fell. And they had dominion over all things, amen? Now, we know that the Lord told Adam, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Adam and Eve's thoughts were pure and holy. They didn't know. They couldn't even lie. They didn't know what lying was. Okay, let's go to Genesis 3. And in verses 1 through 7, and I'm just going to give you a scenario of it. We know that Satan was in the garden, right? Adam and Eve fell to Satan's devices. He tricked them, didn't he? They fell. And Satan regained rule of the earth. That was his one desire, was to regain his office again. Does everybody understand that? And he did. He accomplished it, which removed Adam and Eve out of office. But man would continue to live from generation to generation because God had a plan of redemption, didn't he? Let's go to Genesis 3:17. And the Lord, I just want to explain about the fall. In verse 17 it says, "But of the Lord told him, but of the tree of the garden..." I better start at 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall what? Surely die." That was two. I'm going to go to three now. Let's look at the outcome of this in Genesis 3:17. In Genesis 3:17, is everybody there? "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake." So the earth was cursed, wasn't it? In other words, the original earth was perfect and it became chaotic. Now it was the present earth, God blessed. Now because of the fall, God cursed the earth. He said, for your sake. You know, we lose sight that the earth, now this may sound strange, has life. It's not the life that we look at as one another, but it has life, doesn't it? And God cursed the earth. Why? So that it would eventually perish. Okay? He cursed the earth for Adam's sake. Now, if he cursed the earth, he cursed the dust, didn't he? And if the dust is cursed, what do you and I are made of? Oh. So we, our dust, our flesh is cursed, isn't it? Okay. God cursed the earth that was restored, didn't he? Now listen, it says, "Cursed is the ground for your sake. You'll toil and eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and in sweat of your face you shall eat bread." That means that they were going to be cooking, weren't they? Instead of daddy doing the cooking for you, you had to do your own cooking. "Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return." Hallelujah. Now I want to show you something pretty powerful. Let's go to Genesis 6:17. Hallelujah. Genesis 6:17. Now we know that... Hallelujah. We know that the Lord was upset with man, right? In fact, I guess I better show you that, how upset he was. Let's go to verse, back up a little bit, in chapter 6, in verse 5. Then the Lord, is everybody there? Let's read this together. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now I'll go to verse 17. Now this was after the fall of Adam, right? Because it began to multiply. Well, they knew knowledge of good and evil, didn't they? They no longer could eat of the tree of life because they would have lived forever with knowledge of good and evil, not know what to do with it, but it had to run their life. So God had to have a redemption plan. In verse 17, "And the Lord was speaking to Noah, and he said, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die." Now, let's go back. God created the original earth and perfect, didn't he? Lucifer was the praise and worship leader, made in perfection. He fell, didn't he? And what did God do? Destroyed the earth. Closed it down. With what? Water. God reestablishes the earth. Brings it to the present earth. Sets another servant and ruler. He falls. God brings judgment again. What does he do? Floods it with water. The same thing. Does everybody get it? The same thing. But you and I look at this as because the baptism. Because to be born again, you must be baptized with water and spirit. Now, the Bible tells us that one will come, known as Jesus, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit in what? Fire. So we see here now that the baptism of the earth has been baptized on water. Now it must be baptized in fire. Does everybody get this? Okay. So does everybody understand now what occurred about the two waters? Lucifer, because of the heavenly host, fell. God closed it down with water. Adam fell, God closed it down with water. But he allowed a family, a righteous family, to live through it, didn't he? Because he was carrying a righteous seed. Does everybody get this? Okay. All right. So the flood to destroy the earth is known as the present earth. Lucifer fell, the flood, okay. Adam fell, the earth flooded again, but the righteous seed went forward to Jesus, who was the manifested righteous seed of God. Does everybody get this? Now, the next event that happens after Jesus is known as the rapture. These are major events. The rapture of the church, then the tribulation, the return of the saints for the millennium. And we'll explain some of this. Am I going too fast for anybody? Maybe we better repeat this one more time. Okay, look it. We have the flood. Right? Okay, first Adam falls. The flood. Noah leaves. Gets pulled out, rescued. Okay? That's a major event. One of his sons is carrying the righteous seed. The next major event is the righteous seed is manifested, which is known as Jesus. Okay? Then the next major event that's going to happen is known to be as the rapture. Now, we know that hasn't happened yet, but that's the next major event. After the rapture of the church, the next major event will be the tribulation. Then the next major event will be the return of the saints into the millennium. All right? Good. Okay, let's go to Romans 8. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 8. This is so powerful. We're going to get some powerful revelation. And I hope you guys are excited as I am. If you're not, you better get the tape and really listen to it. I got blessed about the revelation of the flood. All right. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Romans 8. Is everybody there? Whoa, praise God. In verse 18. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not to us, but in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Who's that? Us. Why? Because in its original state, who was praising and worshiping on the earth? The sons of God. Does everybody get it? God is going to restore it back to its original state. Sons of God are known as the angels, but the Bible says that when you and I leave this planet, we're like angels, right? Okay. So we are going to be sons of God like the angels, aren't we? So verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's me and you. What are we waiting for? Our new bodies. For the creation was subjected to futility, and not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Isn't it in corruption right now? Why? God cursed it, didn't he? Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's known as the sons of God. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. That's why you're seeing more earthquakes, more volcanoes. I mean, all these... Why? The earth is groaning. The earth itself, which is life in itself, God doesn't create death, is groaning. It wants its change. You and I are groaning. You get miserable sometimes. And sometimes the miserableness isn't because of the outwardness, it's because of the inwardness, wanting the change, waiting for its glorious body to come. Let's go on, I think. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of what? Our body. To go back to the original state. But this time we're going to know about knowledge of good and evil. And we're going to have dominion over it. Oh, man, you have no idea what awaits you. No idea. So creation is groaning, and so are the children of God groaning. Why? To go back to its original state and fellowship with our Daddy face to face. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. Glory, hallelujah. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God or inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. He's talking about the rapture. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. Why? Because there's a kingdom coming that you and I are going into that you cannot enter with flesh and blood. Original state had no blood. Hallelujah. When Jesus appeared after his resurrection, what did he say? Because they were afraid of a spirit. He was a spirit. He says, does a spirit have flesh and bone? Never mentioned blood. When Eve came out of Adam, when he said, this is now the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh, and the what? The bone of my bone. Never mentioned blood, did he? Okay. So we need this new body, don't we? The glorious bodies come with the rapture. Those who are right in Christ. Amen? So the glory, in other words, the church must be removed so that the wrath of God can come to the earth for 7 years, which is known as the tribulation. Then we return at the end of 7 years with the Lord. Okay, let's go a little further. Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Revelation 12. Verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet. Hallelujah. And on her head were a garland of 12 stars, which is a representation of 12 tribes of Israel. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. Now you got to understand this. This doesn't mean that this is the first time Satan's been around. It says that he just appeared. Does everybody get that? I mean, he's been around, isn't he? Okay. So we see that he was trying to come and get the righteous seed, wasn't he? Does everybody get that? Hallelujah. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, representing a third of the angels, which became principalities, powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour the child, her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. Hallelujah. And her child was caught up to God in his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness where she is a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now, this hasn't happened yet. but the other part has. Does everybody get it? This is going to happen during the tribulation. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil, known as Lucifer, right? And Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In other words, he's going to have to come out of the spirit realm into the natural realm. He'll have to put on flesh, and so will his hosts. They'll have to put on flesh, and that will happen during the tribulation. Okay? Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. For, now it says that the kingdom has come, hasn't it? That's known as the millennium. Does everybody get it? The kingdom comes on earth. You know, everybody says, the Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The kingdom of God is going to manifest on earth. Does everybody understand that? This is what he's talking about. This is the end of tribulation. Okay? Okay, now, let me show you what happens. Go to Jude 14. Hallelujah. Now we're getting into the millennium earth. You can look at your little picture there. It's the fourth stage, the millennium earth. In Jude 14, come on, we got something to look forward to, don't we? In Jude 14 and 15, is everybody there? Let's read it together. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. What's he going to do? To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So you and I will return with the Lord, won't we? Go to Revelation 19. Hallelujah. Revelation 19 and verse 14. Let's read this together. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed unto him on white horses. That's me and you. Amen. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we will return with him. Does everybody get it? Now go to Revelation 20. This is at the end of tribulation. Remember, the church is already raptured. The end of tribulation, we return with glorified bodies. Why? Because we're in the heavenly kingdom, aren't we? And now that kingdom is coming to the earth. In Revelation 20. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. He has laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for what? 1,000 years. Because if the kingdom is going to come on the earth for 1,000 years, because the millennium means 1,000, Satan must be bound. But it does, well, we'll get to that later. And he cast him into the bottomless pit. Remember we read that? We'll go to it again. And shut him up and set a seal on him so he should no longer deceive the nations, no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. So he's going to be released after 1,000 years. And I'll go to Isaiah 14. And verse 15. Now we already went through all of this before, talking about Lucifer. But I wanted to repeat to you in 15, because memory says I'm going to exalt myself and everything else. In fact, if you look at verse 9, it says, the Lord is speaking to you, it says, hell from beneath is excited about you, in verse 9. And it says, to meet you at your coming, it stirs up the dead for you, and all the chief ones of the earth. It is raised up from their thrones and all the kings of the nations. So it's waiting for who? Satan. Now go to verse 15. It says, and the Lord's rebuking Satan because he's saying he's going to exalt himself. And he says in verse 15, he says, yet you shall be brought down to where? Sheol, meaning hell, lower pits. In the lowest depths of the pit. And it says that he's going to be chained there for 1,000 years, which we just read in Revelation 20. Or did we read it? No, yeah, Revelation 20. So Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And now we enter the millennium state of the earth, stage 4. Okay? Now this millennium stage of the earth is not going to be perfect. Understand something, because there are going to be survivors from the tribulation. There will be those in the flesh still. They will be having children. They will be multiplying for 1,000 years. Now, sin won't have reign, but sin will still be here. Does everybody understand that? Because you won't be tempted by the tempter, will you? But those with a flesh body will still carry on sin nature, won't they? Now, you must understand something. Please hold on to this. Your home and my home isn't here. It's up in the New Jerusalem, which has not come on the earth yet. But it doesn't mean that we won't be here, because we will be here to reign for Christ. That's why you and I will have a glorified body, because we'll be going to and fro. But our true home will be in heaven. Who will be running the earth? Everything will be turned back over to the Jewish nations. To the Jewish nation. Does everybody understand that? God is going to set up his place in Jerusalem. It will be the capital of the world. But the true Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, will still be in heaven. Is everybody with me? Let's see if we can get there. Isaiah 35. While we're in Isaiah. Isaiah 35. Oh, hallelujah. Got to get through this. We got to get this in. Glory to God. There's so much. I mean, there's so much references to this. We could be here all night. But I can only give you glimpses of it. Isaiah 35, verse 5. Now, this is talking about the millennium time. Because the Holy Spirit is going to be have full reign here. Because the devil will be bound, won't he? So it doesn't mean that people are going to be sinning. They shouldn't be. But sin will still be here. Okay? Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. In other words, there will be healing, won't there? Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the inhabitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Hallelujah. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, because they'll be unclean still, won't there? But it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. So during this period of time, people won't go astray, even though he's a fool. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So during the millennium age, there will be peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, because that's the kingdom of God. Does everybody get that?
Amen.
But those who went through tribulation and were saved, or before during the rapture time, or were raptured at the end of the tribulation, because there's more than just the one rapture, and I'm not going to go into that. During the tribulation, before Jesus Christ returns, in other words, when we return, All of those who were righteous and got raptured during the time and died will return with us with glorified bodies. Those are the ones that we have glorified bodies. Anyone who comes to the Lord during the millennium will not get a glorified body. He'll have to die and wait to the end. Does everybody get it? Good. And Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. 31, 31. Praise be to God. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Well, we know that's not happened yet, has it? It's going to come in the millennium. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, because the Lord's going to remarry Israel in the millennium. He's coming back to marry them. You and I are known as the bride of Christ. But when the Lord returns at the end of the tribulation, he remarries Israel. But this is the covenant that I made with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds. That will be during the millennium. And write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor. Won't need to during the millennium, right? And every man his brother saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember no more. Praise be to God. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for light by night, who disturbs the sea, and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease. So he's saying these are going to come to pass. From being a nation before me forever. So the nation of Israel will be that will rule the world out of the nation of Israel. Does everybody understand that? Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth stretched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 11. Forgive me for moving so quickly, but I still have enough to cover, and I do want to make it on this tape. But the tape is available for anyone who wants to review it. Okay? So don't get discouraged. Isaiah 11. In verse 1, and the word says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And we know who that is, Jesus. His delight is in the fear and reverence of the Lord. Now listen to this. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with iniquity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And we know that's the end of the tribulation, right? Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Now listen, this is during the millennium now, because this is at the end of tribulation. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, the fatling, thank you, together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. That's in the millennium. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. That's the earth. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. To God be the glory. That's in the millennium. Amen. Let's go to Genesis 28. Okay. We'll see why I have that there. Genesis 28. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Lord. I hope we can make it. Genesis 28 and verse 10. Oh, okay, I know why this is there. It's talking about Jacob's ladder. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of the place and put it as his head, and he laid down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, those were known as what? The sons of God. It's me and you, he saw. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. During the millennium the families of the earth will be what? Blessed. And the ladder, the Jacob's ladder, is representation of Israel being the capital of the earth, but or Jerusalem being the capital of the earth, but there's going to be another capital in heaven known as the New Jerusalem that has not come down yet. Does everybody understand this? And you and I were glorified bodies going back and forth. That we'd be known as the sons of God going back and forth, going up and down that ladder. Now, hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 28:13, you don't have to go there. It's fulfilling the word that the Lord said that the nation of Israel would run the world. And he fulfills that. Remember, the Holy Spirit will have free reign here. That's Deuteronomy 28:13. Deuteronomy 28:13. Okay? Now, we see that at the end of the millennium, something must happen. Glory to God. And Revelation 20. Woo-hoo! Yeah, we can do it. And Revelation 20. Glory, hallelujah, glory. Revelation 20 and verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years has expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Now, God's going to test man again, isn't he? So those with the fallen nature are going to be tested again. And will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Because see, they thought it was flat at that time, didn't they? Remember, this is the revelation God gave to who? John. They didn't know the earth was round yet, did they? No. The four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. So Satan's going to grab Gog and Magog, these two nations, and come against the city of God. Well, he's not talking about the city of God on the earth. Hallelujah. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. Now we know that's about the city on earth, but it's also a revelation of the city in heaven. Does everybody get this? Okay, now look it. And fire came down from God out of heaven to devour them. So they were Lucifer, Satan, was coming against the Jews and on the earth, wasn't he? He was coming against the righteous on the earth and the city on the earth, but the city in heaven, where we, you and I are at, okay, God sends fire down to destroy them. At that time, God removes all the righteous. Everybody get it? Because at that time, not only does he destroy Lucifer or Satan, but he destroys the whole earth. So everyone has to be taken and put in the other earth. It says at the end of the millennium, everybody's brought up and judged, aren't they? So God has raised them all up, okay? Brought them to the New Jerusalem in heaven and destroyed the earth on fire when he hit Satan. But the fire came down. Does everybody get this? Now listen. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, this is known as the baptism of fire. The earth had to be renovated again. Because during the millennium, it wasn't perfect, was it? God is bringing perfection. And he brings perfection by what? Fire. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Pete chapter 3. Hallelujah. And verse 10. Second Pete chapter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be what? Burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in the holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening and the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a what? New heavens and a new earth in which righteousness will dwell. So a new heaven and a new earth must come. But before it must come, the new heaven and the new earth must be burned. And this is where it's burned. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. And this is where in Ephesians 1, turn there quickly. In Ephesians 1, and verse 9 and 10, this is powerful. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. And that's what He did. He gathered them together on the earth and which were on heaven into Him. And then He burned the earth, and now the new heaven and the new earth are coming. And we know that the tabernacle of God, the new Jerusalem, will come on the earth afterwards. So if you'll turn to Revelation 21. Hallelujah. Oh, the pages are flying tonight. Glory to God. Revelation 21. Is everybody there? In verse 1, Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. So even in the new heaven and new earth, there won't be no more water. Okay? Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. That's where we live. From God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murderers, sexual, immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. It was the new Jerusalem on the earth, on the new earth. The city had no need of sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory to God. Let's go to 22. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clearer as crystal proceeding from the throne of God of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life. And you and I will still eat of the tree of life to maintain our eternal life. It's everything's being brought back to its original state. Adam and Eve had to eat the tree of life to maintain life in their glorified bodies. That's why the Lord said, no more can you go. That's why he removed them from the garden, said you can't eat of the tree of life no more, you'll live forever. So you and I will still have to eat of the tree of life. The fruit. Now listen. In the middle of the street, neither side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit each every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And turn to Isaiah 66. And this is the last scripture. Glory to God. Isaiah 66, hallelujah. We are entering now the eternal end. This is when we begin eternity, brothers and sisters, with glorified bodies. And then eventually this will go away too, but we don't know what's going to be after this. You know, I remember the Lord sharing with me one day, and he rolled up a piece of paper and he blew on it and it rolled out. And he said, this is how the universe was created. And I was there. And he said, the next time I do creation, you'll be there. So praise be to you, Papa. Isaiah 66 and verse 22. Is everybody there? Verse 22. Isaiah 66, verse 22. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh, and that's known as the lake of fire. See, we won't remember all the things, but the lake of fire will be there to remember. We will see the lake of fire is going to be known as the Dead Sea. That's going to be the eternal hell. Okay? And that's a whole other teaching. But you and I will go up to the throne of God and worship Him, and we will see those that are in eternal hell. An eternal lake of fire. Now, we don't know when God's going to end all of that and go on. But we will live in glory. And there's much more. Now, remember, these were the six stages. There's the original, the chaotic earth, the present earth, which we're living in now, then the millennial earth, the renovated earth by fire, and then the new earth. Look at those sheets and go through them. Amen. I know there was a lot of information given, but there's a lot more, and we can't go into all of it. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Prepare us, Papa. Prepare us to leave this town. Prepare us. But Lord, give us the strength and power and the anointing and desire for the lost that we can take others with us to what you have prepared for us for eternity. Lord Jesus, we bless you. We honor you as the master teacher. We thank you, Holy Spirit, and we give all glory to you, my Lord. I pray a blessing over each and every one here. Protect them and guide them and let this seed stay in them and protected by the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and God bless. Amen.